This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. Rick here. And for this episode, we've got a few interviews with professional golfers that normally reside on the Korn Ferry Tour, but have been making noise in mini tours in Arizona, specifically the Outlaw Tour. We've got Dylan Wu, Brent Grant, and KK Limbasut on the line for this episode. We really hope you enjoy, and if you do, don't be afraid to leave a rating and review on Apple, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy. All right, let's welcome in Dylan Wu. Dylan, thank you so much for joining us today. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure to be on here.
Yeah, so this is cool. The world of golf is kind of singularly focused in one spot, which happens to be the Outlaw Tour and mini tour golf and, you know, Golden State Tour, whatever else is going on. But before we jump into that, for those listeners who may not be as familiar with you, correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, but originated, grew up in Oregon, right, where you're the number one golfer in the state there. Then you took your talents to Northwestern, right?
Yep.
And then now you are currently on the Korn Ferry Tour, and were, quite frankly, off to a really good start before the season ended or was postponed.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. So let's talk about let's talk a little Korn Ferry Tour to begin with. So you guys have played, or you've played in, I think, six events so far. You've got a second place, a fourth place, a bunch of top 10 or 11th place finishes. How would you assess your game this season before we got to the postponement?
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate the situation we're in right now, but. Yeah, for the Korn Ferry season this year, it's been great. I couldn't really ask for a better start. Played really well in all six events and really was in contention in a lot of them, which was really cool. But the biggest thing this year, it's my second year on the Korn Ferry. I learned a lot from last year's experience, just getting in the middle half of the season and keeping my card. And yeah, my goal this year was just try to stay more consistent and just try to develop my game and be better prepared. And luckily, yeah, I had a great first six events. I'm fifth on the money list right now, so hopefully we get back rolling in about a month. So I'm pretty excited to get back where I stopped and keep the ball rolling.
You mentioned learning from kind of season one, or at least half a season into this year. What was was there one big takeaway for you to start this year that you might have picked up from last season?
Yeah, I mean, last season had a lot of high and lows. I mean, I got into the 16th event of the season, and I finished runner-up my second when it was called the web.com mm-hmm. start. And after that, I had kind of some mixed up results. But the biggest thing I wanted to do between last year and this year was just to try to stay consistent. Just try to have that mental focus and mental strength to kind of grind over every spot. This year, having I thought at least a full season, you never know what one shot's going to mean at the end of the season. So that kind of was my goal through the entire off season, was not only be a little more consistent, try to make a bunch more cuts, but you never know what a good result is. Sometimes your best golf is a T30th place finish. Sometimes your best golf is winning a tournament. It's those weeks that you don't have it and you really grind and you get the most out of your game and say backdoor top 20, top 15 finish. And that gives you momentum in the weeks off, the weeks later. So those were the biggest keys. Just last year, played 13 weeks in a row to end the season, including the Corn Ferry Finals. So it's kind of gassed. So this year, being able to pick and allocate my schedule has been really helpful up until now.
Right.
So it's nice to know how many weeks works for you, just because when you're playing more than 5 weeks in a row, it's pretty hard for any golfer.
Okay. So is that, I was going to ask, what works for you? Is that the cutoff, or are you trying to avoid playing more, you know, is 5 weeks the most you want to play, barring some, maybe something like we're in right now where something gets crazy? Is that the right fit for you?
Yeah, I think it's 4 to 5 weeks is probably like the most, because when you're like the beginning of this season, technically there weren't six events in a row, but there wasn't that much break. But now that we have this long hiatus, like I probably will, I'm gladly going to play, just because I haven't been able to play in a Corn Ferry event for 2 months now, basically. But yeah, 4 to 5 weeks is kind of the probably close to the max I'll play in a row, unless I really have to. That's the one good thing. If you play well early, you can kind of pick and choose the weeks you take off. It all depends on the course too, like the courses and the places you played before, if you like it or not. So kind of have to consider all those factors. But yeah, 4 to 5 weeks is probably about the rough estimate I like to play in a row, max.
Got it. You mentioned obviously doing very well on the Corn Ferry Tour, being in, you know, fourth or fifth in the money list and in the standings. And I want to ask, you know, when everything got postponed and we went on hiatus, it was kind of a shock to the system for everybody. And we kind of had a large range of emotions. But playing so well for you, Dylan, was it a little disheartening to get that postponement? And how are you kind of mentally dealing with just being in this hiatus?
Yeah, I mean, I think my first impression, we had 2 weeks off right after Mexico. I was like, okay, first heard news about the coronavirus across the country. I was like, okay, maybe it's not going to be that bad. But the more and more this pandemic grew and grew, we kind of realized that it was going to be something that's going to affect not only golf, but all sports in the entire world. So when I first heard about it, I was like, oh, maybe there's only going to be 4 or 5 events canceled, and they'll probably still give out PGA Tour cards this year. That actually helps me because I'm near the top. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, when you're playing well, you just want to keep on playing. You want to keep on riding that high and get as many points and play as many tournaments as you can when you're playing well. Because golf seems easy when you're playing well. But yeah, I mean, one good thing is that, I mean, no matter what, even though we're probably going to have a wraparound season for 2020 and 2021, and there won't be any PGA Tour cards given out this year, mm-hmm. I mean, the good golf that I played at the beginning of this year still helps. It still helps me in my goal to get to the PGA Tour, whether it's in 2020 or 2021, most likely 2021, but you kind of just kind of have to have a positive outlook. Like everybody's struggling. Not only, I'm lucky enough to play golf, as my job right now and as my dream. So, it's kind of minuscule in the effects of the coronavirus on all parts of the world right now. So luckily living in Scottsdale, Arizona now, you don't really feel the effects of the pandemic here, where the golf courses haven't been closed at all. So I get to go golfing every day. I get to play mini tour events and still make some money that way and keep myself busy. Whereas if I was still living in Chicago or somewhere else, it'd be harder. But you kind of just need to have a positive outlook. One good thing is that there is hopefully going to be golf coming up soon. So at least the schedule has been posted in about a month. So I'm really excited to get rolling, and all you can do is just focus on the future and just try to play your best. So just try to stay positive.
Yeah, Arizona is basically the mecca of golf right now with the courses that are open and the events that are taking place. Now, I want to dive a little bit deeper into this, Dylan, because you mentioned the changes, because this is relatively new, the tour coming out and announcing how they're going to be dealing with statuses moving forward. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but you kind of alluded to this. No tour player is going to be losing their status after all of this. And from what I can tell, the top 10 in the Corn Ferry Tour are going to receive conditional status. Am I understanding this correctly?
It's kind of conditional status. So the email that we got from our president, Alex Baldwin, yesterday was that we would get the top 10 players after the 2020 season would be eligible to get in the opposite field events for the PGA Tour for next year. I think there's about 6 events like that. So the one thing is, I mean, that's great. But on the other hand, if we're going to have a Korn Ferry season that wraps around, that has 45 events in 2 years, and if the top 10 players do get in the opposite field events, some players might not want to play in them if they conflict with Korn Ferry events, because the end goal is getting to the PGA Tour. I mean, it's great to get in the opposite field event and get into a PGA Tour event, but you basically have to win or finish in the top five or do something special. Yeah. To make something better happen versus improving your status in the Korn Ferry. So I think there's more news that's going to come out in the next week. I mean, everything's pretty much up in the air still, but I think the wraparound season is something that is pretty much in everybody's head now, and it's kind of ingrained. But there's supposed to be an announcement on Monday, and then hopefully both tours start within the month. So
yeah, I didn't even think about that. That if you do want to pass up on maybe some of those six opposite field events to kind of improve your opportunity to eventually get one of the 25 tour cards at the end of the full wraparound season. I didn't even consider that.
Yeah, exactly. Just because, I mean, it's cool because whether it's a opposite field event, I mean, there's still a lot more money on the line. You can make more money, but it's just harder to, is you basically are going to be, you can't really improve your status that much if you are in the top 10 just through opposite field events. I mean, honestly, the best way to get to the PGA Tour is to just win three times on the Korn Ferry. They still have the battlefield promotion. And now that there's 45 events, so I think you might see a few more. I mean, maybe one or two guys do that, or at least have better chances of doing that now. But yeah, I mean, I think they're just all, I think the tour is just trying to do what's best for the PGA Tour players and for all the players in general, just because, I mean, the season's been cut short, and if you've had a bad start to the season, it kind of sucks. So I think they want to give as many players playing opportunities. I think they're trying to increase the fields, field sizes for every event. I think they're going to try to get rid of a few Monday qualifiers spots. So they're just trying to give as many guys with, say, a lower status in the PGA Tour, even the Korn Ferry, more playing opportunities.
I like how easy you made that sound. Just go out there and win three times and get your promotion. That's awesome. So you've been keeping busy in mini tour events, and most recently at the GCU Championship, where you finished T5, Dylan. Now, how would you assess your play from that event?
I just finished yesterday at the GCU event. The Golden State Tour has been, the Golden State Tour and the Outlaw Tour are basically one tour now that operate in Arizona and California. But no, I played well. It was actually a really good field. I had a couple, basically any mini tour player or guy that has status on the Korn Ferry or Canada, McKinsey Tour, Latin America, or China. There's nothing really other to do than play mini tour events. And I mean, we had like an 86 player field, a lot of good players, and you had to shoot, I think you had to shoot like 10 under to break even. I finished at 16 under for 3 days, played pretty solid golf. I mean, here and there could have been a little better, but still pretty pleased with the showing for the 3 days. Finishing T5th, just trying to keep myself busy. Luckily these tours, like the courses being open in Arizona, luckily I don't feel the full effects of the virus here, and am able to still play golf and still play competitive golf. So now still pretty happy with the result. And I'm playing a one next week, another Golden State Tour event next week. And then there's the Scottsdale AZ Open the week after. So trying to make sure my game is still sharp, not putting too much pressure on myself, but want to make sure that I'm not necessarily peaking right now versus trying to prepare for when the Korn Ferry starts in June, hopefully, and get my game ready for that. Just because with this hiatus, like you didn't really know when you were going to keep playing or when you were going to start. So these mini tour events are great because they still stimulate competition, really good competition. You're playing for money. So anything helps.
Yeah, it's funny, even for, you know, guys like me, when you put $5 on a putt on 18 or whatever, a lot of things change. So there, that aspect of it certainly helps. So I assume, and Dylan, you know, I want your feelings on this, because it feels like, as you know, the Korn Ferry Tour has a return date in place, the PGA Tour has a return date in place, and you mentioned it, it's the Golden State Tour. It's the Outlaw Tour. It's these mini tours that are really the only game in town. We're going to be seeing, I think Joel Damon is going to be playing at that Scottsdale Arizona Open. I think Streelman's in the field, maybe Pat Perez. But correct me if I'm wrong, I imagine as we're going to get closer to the return of these major tours, that a lot of guys are going to want, like, they're going to be playing these mini tour events. These fields are only going to get better into and more competitive until they start back up again.
Exactly. I mean, I think JJ Spahn played this last week in the Golden State Tour event. I mean, there's a guy, I mean, the funny thing is that they're basically live. I mean, it's not funny, but it's pretty cool. Actually, they're doing live streaming on the last couple events. Where they have like three or four groups where a guy follows a group just live streaming the whole round, usually the featured groups. But I mean, the biggest thing is that there's no sports going on. So a lot of people are betting on mini tour golf here on the Outlaw Tour and Golden State Tour, which is pretty funny.
They certainly like, are. Do you know what your odds were for last week to win that event?
I know. I've been checking because my friends have been asking, I'm like, dude, those are probably not good. Like, I think my odds last week in the 2-day event was like 3.5-1, and my last week was 7-1. Like, you guys should probably bet on some. I mean, that's pretty low. I mean, that's a pretty aggressive betting odds. But I mean, I think it's. I mean, one thing is that it's good for the players. You get to play in front of a camera a little bit for mini tour players that maybe haven't done that yet. So it's cool just to see other people around the world or people who are not even into golf or just like betting and sports involved. So. I think it's nice just because you kind of see like the way the mini tours hopefully as everything opens up again, we don't really know what's going to happen to the three development tours in China, Latin America, and in Canada. You could see some of the mini tours be like what they were say 5-10 years ago, what people were saying when people can play in them and win $30,000 and stuff like that and have 156 players playing in them. So no, these are definitely great prep. I mean, good golf is good golf, no matter where you're playing, and good golf translates. So if you're playing well in a mini tour event, I mean, if a PGA Tour player gets good preparation and wins a mini tour event, he's still probably going to feel good about his game going to when he resumes back on the PGA Tour.
I love it. I love it. Dylan, so next steps for you, sounds like we're going to see you at the Legacy Classic next week, and then maybe, is it Scottsdale Open in 2?
Yeah, Scottsdale Open in 2. Yeah, so that'll be like 4 weeks in a row. I mean, luckily it's only 3 days and it's pretty easy, usually playing in carts and stuff like that. So, yeah, just trying to keep myself busy. Hopefully this is a good enough prep. Right now that's Korn Ferry start dates, June 11th at the TPC Sawgrass Dye Valley course. So fingers crossed that it starts then. But yeah, I'm looking forward to hopefully getting a win in one of these two events coming up.
Love it. Well, we are rooting for you. Thank you so much for coming on today and best of luck next week and weeks beyond.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, let's welcome in Brent Grant. Hey, Brent, thanks for taking a few minutes of your time today. Really appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
So Brent, this is kind of a weird situation that everybody's in the world of golf. So I want to get your take on it. You know, it's been, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks now since the Korn Ferry Tour and the PGA Tour have gone on hiatus. And now we're kind of living in a world of mini tour golf and the Outlaw Tour. Let me just get like your mental state and how all of your world has changed over the course of the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we were in the middle of the first part of the season there when we finished in Mexico. We had, I think it was 2 weeks off or something like that, and I went to visit family and got off a plane here in California, and all the news hit that we were shutting down. So, I mean, obviously, that's a shock to the system and that nobody saw coming until it happened. But I'd say that since then, it's been about trying to get better as best as I can and gearing up for the hopeful restart here in June. But yeah, and thankfully, the Outlaw Tour is still running. So.
Yeah. So you mentioned that finish in Mexico was a T12 for you, which was your best finish of the season. Is it a little disheartening to have your best finish and then immediately kind of go on hiatus, or are you just kind of trying to take the best things from what you can out of your 65 in the final round there and keep it going forward?
You know, I mean, that's what everybody would naturally think, right? I mean, and I can't say I didn't think that it was a bit of a bummer, but I mean, honestly, you know, since then, I've had, you know, really long talks with my father and my coach and my trainer and all these people that I respect very highly. And they've all told me pretty much the same thing that you know, these 2 months, this 2.5 to 3 months is what it's going to end up being, you know, is there for a reason. And, you know, you can, like you said, you have to take the positives out of it. So far that's what I've been able to do, but I guess we'll see come June what that really means.
Yeah. I mean, we've, even for us in the media, shock to the system, I think is a perfect way to put it. And we're like, oh, looking around like, now what, you know what I mean? It's kind of been weird. We've been saying we're just going to embrace the weird for the next couple weeks or next couple months, whatever it ends up being here. But I'm looking at your profile here, and are you still in Phoenix right now? There was a tournament that just ended on the Outlaw Tour. Are you hanging in Phoenix? Are you back home? Where are you live in California now?
Yeah. So I'm in Murrieta, California, based out of Bear Creek here. And I got back last night late, about 9:30 or so. Pretty much bounced right after the round. Had some stuff I had to do today here back home. So we're here for a week or so, and then I head back to Phoenix for the Scottsdale Open over there at Talking Stick. So
beautiful. Speaking of that round, which I will, producer Jacob might not like me for dating this podcast, which was yesterday, you shot a 63 in that final round. I believe it was tied for round of the day. I saw you on live stream. I think you buried like a 45 foot putt. I think it had to be late in your round, like 10 or 14 or something like that. Talk me through things that went well for you yesterday.
Oh goodness. You know, honestly, man, I started the day, I think it was 4 back. And so I knew that KK and the guys that were ahead of me, you know, were going to go low. And so I figured 8 was going to be, you know, a relatively, close number to shoot to get within a couple, if not, you know, obviously if they made mistakes, then it would be enough to get into a playoff or win. But, you know, obviously that didn't happen, but, you know, I just tried to stay steady, got off to a pretty good start, started hitting it pretty well, actually really well for my standards, which was really nice. And then, you know, stumbled a little bit with a bogey on, 8, and then, kind of got back into it on 9 and 10, and then on 12, I just got stuck behind a couple of trees and had to make, a pretty long putt from the front of the green, which when I do that for par, it comes out to a relatively loud celebration, which it gets everywhere.
And we're
all, of course, aware of what's going on, which is kind of nice. It's always been that way, but and then kind of got cold there a little bit on the back nine compared to the front until the last couple of holes, which my ball striking came into play there, hit to a foot on 17, and then from about 221 on 18, I hit it to about 12 feet and brushed in the putt for eagle to post 8 under.
Yeah, there you go. Finishing birdie eagle is always welcome, I imagine. Now, Brent, so we are, you know, the collective golf community turning its attention to mini tour golf in a big way right now. The Outlaw Tour has really embraced this. They've been very active on social media. They've been kind of live streaming a lot of the rounds that are going on out there. Could you imagine we'd be in a world where, like, you know, there's fantasy sports around the Outlaw Tour, everybody's got eyes on it? I mean, just kind of like describe from your side of it, like, do you realize there's a lot more attention on these mini tour events than maybe ever before?
You know, Mike O'Leary, the guy who runs the Golden State Tour, and I have gotten to know each other pretty well So we have pretty candid conversations. And when I first showed up at the Grand Canyon University golf course this week, we talked about DraftKings and what all was going on with that. And well, actually, I was actually made aware of what was going on by a couple of people telling me what my odds were to win, which has never happened before. To answer your question, I wasn't aware that it was as big as it was, but it makes sense that considering that it's the only thing going on, and everybody's kind of stuck inside on their cell phones anyway. So.
Yeah. And what I've kind of noticed over the past couple of weeks is these events, I mean, these are shootouts. You know, like a 2-under par every single day isn't going to cut it, Brent. And you mentioned you knew, you know, KK and those guys were going to go low. Is that different from your normal mindset? I know some guys, when they get 3, 4, maybe even 5-under par, it's hard to keep going. It's hard to keep trying to fire at flags. Is it any different here on you know, the Golden State Tour, the Outlaw Tour? Or is this your natural mindset to always be kind of just pedal down?
I'd say that I definitely have an aggressive nature when playing the game. One of the great things that I've learned, this year from the first few events in the Korn Ferry Tour is that, you know, when it's scoreable, you know, when the conditions are good, it allows you to be more aggressive, but you still can't just swing, willy-nilly. You can't go at it full bore every single time and expect the same result, because it's just, it's golf. It's just not that way. But, when it's in a tournament like this, with the conditions as absolutely perfect as they were, which was quite surprising, just considering, everything that's going on, it's definitely a shootout, like you said. I mean, if you take your pedal off for a moment, you're going to get passed by. And a perfect example is that final round that if KK didn't shoot, 7-8 under or 7-under that like he did, he would have lost or went into a playoff. So, he shot 10-under to start the tournament. So, you got to keep it down. And obviously the Korn Ferry Tour is known for their low scores. So I'd say it's a pretty common, mental perspective for sure.
Yeah. I want to turn to the Korn Ferry Tour because I'm looking at your results and I'm looking at your stats, and some of this is obviously limited on the number of rounds, but I mean, you're leading the Korn Ferry Tour in driving distance right now. And I went and looked this up because I saw you on live stream yesterday, and you are basically listed at the same height and weight as Rory McIlroy, basically 5'10", 160, 165. And both of you appear to get almost every ounce, every inch of it out of your driver. I mean, talk me through that. Are you cognizant of, it's not Dustin Johnson out there just whipping it and hitting it 350. You are kind of in the same mold of Rory in terms of stature and driving distance.
Well, first of all, I appreciate the comparison. Rory's always been, a bit of an idol to me. Just simply because he is who he is and is kind of built the same way that I am. I definitely count myself very lucky to be able to do what I do with the long club, but it's kind of funny when I played with Taylor Pendrith earlier this year, and Taylor's much bigger than I am, and yet I was keeping up with him, and actually we bantered back and forth there in Mexico about driving distance and stuff. When I really, really pop one and my friends are around, I just kind of joke with them and tell them that the little man still got some pop in him. So it's definitely, I'm sure Rory feels the same way, but like Rory, fitness has been a huge part of what I do. And my trainer is really good at what he does, and I've been able to gain a pretty significant amount of distance and speed over the last couple of years that is obviously equated to pretty cool numbers.
I love it. So, you know, if we go up, we pull up your profile right now, we can see, you know, you're leading the Korn Ferry Tour in driving distance, you're 36th in accuracy, you're 8th in greens in regulation. I mean, these are all just stats. How would you describe your game? What are the best parts of your game? Hey, listen, I watched you on the stream for a little bit. I'm looking at the numbers. I think you're probably going to say the long stick, like you mentioned. What are some things that you're also just kind of looking to improve on all the time?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the driver is definitely a weapon. I joke with my friends all the time, and it's actually, they kind of give me crap about it because I do struggle a little bit with the short club sometimes, just because it's something that I constantly have to work on. But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty dangerous, apparently, according to them anyways, outside of 200 yards. They take that over inside 100, which is kind of funny. But, you know, that's kind of what I'm working on right now is just the short clubs and the putter. You know, I describe my game as somebody that hits it pretty well. I'd like to think that I hit it out there with the best of them, as far as distance, accuracy, and obviously, proximity to the hole location. You know, if I get hot with the putter, it's game on, and I'm pretty tough to beat.
I love it. One of the things and one of the conversations that we always have here is basically how competitive, whether it's the Korn Ferry Tour is or whether it's the PGA Tour is, and how the margins between some of these guys, you know, ranked 100th to 300th in the world, for example, is just absolutely razor thin, it appears. And, you know, you, I believe Monday qualified for Sony last year. Do I have that right?
Was that last year? Yeah, I guess that would have been last year. Yep.
So Monday qualified for the Sony last year. So you've obviously seen all sides of this in the world of golf, whether it's mini tour, Korn Ferry Tour, PGA Tour. What are the differences between some of the guys and your peers on the Korn Ferry Tour versus some of the guys that might have status on the PGA Tour right now?
Yeah, I mean, it is, you know, to more to your point, it is absolutely razor thin. It's hard to say exactly what defines, 125th on the PGA Tour and, you know, 30th on the Korn Ferry. But, you know, I mean, I kind of narrowed it down over the years of, you know, running into all of these guys and running into the different levels. You know, there's good players and there's great players, and then there's the champion, right? And, you know, obviously we've witnessed quite possibly the greatest golfer of all time over the last 20 years. And he's talked about work ethic and, you know, the difference between him and everybody else is that he works harder than everybody else and he knows it. And that's why he's able to go out there and win. And I'd say that's probably it. You know, you don't really see, you know, a whole lot of guys nowadays, not in the gym or anything like that. So, you know, it makes it tough to really compare the differences in levels, but, I think it's just experience ultimately. Like I said earlier, I'd like to think that I hit it out there with the best of them, and I know I'm not alone on the Korn Ferry Tour. And, the rounds that I played in the PGA Tour over there at the Sony, would say the same thing, but, it's such a hard thing to compare, honestly.
Yeah, for sure. So I know you've been a little busy the past couple of days playing in a tournament, but you know, the news kind of broke about how the PGA Tour is going to be dealing with player statuses moving forward. So I'm assuming you've had a chance to kind of see at least the snippets of how they're going to deal with this, right?
Yeah. I got in the car yesterday and I knew that there was a PAC meeting yesterday. And obviously, Alex Baldwin has done a great job, and she's kept us all informed. And obviously, we all have our connections with the different people that we've met. And you know, I read the email yesterday about kind of what they're doing, and I'm actually super pumped that they were able to get it done. Obviously, you know, the fact that the top 10 on the Korn Ferry Tour points list has an opportunity to get into opposite field events through the 2021 season. That's pretty incredible. I think that serves as a great, not gifts, but a accomplishment. If you are able to get into the top 10 at the end of this season, you know, it kind of says, okay, yeah, you earned this, and you have an opportunity to get your PGA Tour card even before the end of 2021, which is obviously incredible. And I'm very, very thankful that they were able to get that done.
So Brent, what is next for you? Is it Talking Stick? Is it the Scottsdale Open? Is that where we'll see you next?
Yeah, that's where I'll be next. Obviously, we've got a few PGA Tour players that have signed up for that event. Spielman, Joel Damon, I think, is out there as well, amongst all of us Korn Ferry Tour players. I've got this week off. I'll get back in the gym and get back to work and work on those wedges and see if we can go out and post another good score at Talking Stick.
There you go. Keep it rolling. Brent Grant, best of luck the rest of the way. Hopefully we'll see you back on the Korn Ferry Tour. We are looking for Korn Ferry and PGA Tour to come back as soon as possible. So thanks for joining us today.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
All right, let's welcome in winner of the GCU Championship, KK Limbasut. Hey, KK, how's it going?
Hey, good. How are you?
doing very well. How does that sound? Winner of the GCU Championship.
You know, that sounds pretty nice.
are you like aware that you just won? Like, you are the single winner of in like the world of golf that everyone was focused on yesterday. Are you aware of that?
Not really, but that sounds pretty crazy just because, you know, everything that's going on right now. But, you know, I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, I mean, you're right with the lack of golf going on and the fields that are taking place in Arizona specifically. That event yesterday was pretty popular in the golfing world, and you came out on top. And here's the other thing, KK. Did you play golf today?
I actually did. I went to practice this morning.
So
you know, it's the only thing we can do right now. It's only golf that's open.
So that's also your way to stay busy too, because you just won and you're already right back on the golf. You didn't even take a day off.
I'm planning on taking Saturday off. That's usually my day off of the week. But yeah, getting ready for next week, you know.
That's really cool. So we'll talk about next week, but let's talk about this past week. Let's talk about the GCU Championship for 1 second. You beat this field, finished at 21 under par. Talk to me about your game from this past week. I mean, I assume it was pretty good, but talk me through how you thought you played.
Yeah. Overall, like all around was really impressive because, I know the course really well because I play a lot since I moved to Arizona. So I know the course really well, but like overall, I hit my driver really well this past 3 days. Also that gave me like chances to go for par fives and like, take advantage of the short par fours. I think that's why I made a lot of birdies this past week. And also my putting. I mean, I gave myself a lot of looks this past couple of days. And luckily I made a lot of 10-footers this tournament.
In your opening round, you shot a 61, which I believe is a course record. Is that right?
Yeah, I think the old record was 63. And I shot 61 on the first round.
I love it. So you crushed it. And then what I noticed with these mini tour events is that even though you broke the course record in round number one, you still have to keep making birdies the entire time because you go out and then even shoot a 64 in the final round and still win by one. This you constantly have to be making birdies out there, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think because, I mean, I know a lot of guys who make birdies this tournament. So, you know, par is not enough out there. You need to like almost make birdies every hole, like aim to make birdies every hole.
Yeah, birdies are, you even mentioned it, going for par fives and two, I assume is a big part of it as well. But you were playing really well on the tour. I mean, you were kind of knocking at the door. You finished third at the Legacy, second at Arrowhead, third at Verado a couple of weeks ago. Did you feel like this was coming, that you were building towards a win?
I think like if I put myself in contention a lot, I think, you know, eventually I'll pull it off. I think that was my mindset going to this past, like, you know, 3-4 weeks playing these mini tours. It's, you know, like, keep putting myself in contention, knocking on doors, like what you said, and you know, eventually I'll pull it off. And it's a good learning experience because, you know, out here par is not enough. You need to shoot some low numbers to like put yourself in contention, and I guess that gives me confidence preparing myself before I get back on the Korn Ferry Tour.
So let's talk a little bit about the Korn Ferry Tour, because when golf went into its, I guess, hiatus is the term we're using, or pause, you actually finished T12 in Mexico, which was the last event that you guys had played. So did you feel like you were already playing well? You played well in Mexico. I think there was 2 weeks off anyway, and then you have to find mini tours to play, and you just kind of kept it rolling after that?
Yeah, like, you know, I think the Mexico event was like my third tour event ever I ever played, and you know, being able to finish top 15 there like gave me a lot of confidence booster, because you know, I just turned pro recently, and that's like one of the biggest accomplishments for me, finishing top 15 at a tour event. And that just like kept going until the mini tours and into this, like, you know, hiatus that you were mentioning. That definitely kicked off my, you know, I guess my confidence level, definitely. And you know, luckily I pulled off this week.
Yeah, it was awesome. We were watching on the Outlaw Tour had the live stream of it. They were just like showing it on the cell phone. Yeah. So we were watching it. Yeah. It was cool to see. It was awesome, man.
Definitely. Yeah. You know, I get a lot of DMs from my Instagram. People just watching the Periscope app. Yeah.
That's really cool. I want to back up a little bit because you played at Cal, yep. Which, you know, it's, we had your teammate there, Colin Morikawa. We had him on the podcast, mm-hmm. A couple of weeks ago, and we were asking him about like what it is, like all of you young guys are so good when you come out of college, you guys seem to be so ready to be a pro. And Colin was saying that, you know, it's because you know a lot of these guys or you've played with them. They might be a couple of years older than you, and then you see them have success and it gives you confidence too. So do you feel that same thing? Like you have your friends or your peers or your guys that you've played with or against in college. If you see them go out and find success on the Korn Ferry Tour or on the PGA Tour, does that also give you confidence?
Yeah, definitely. Just because, you know, like most of the guys that are on like Korn Ferry Tour or some are on PGA Tour, you know, like we grew up playing with them a lot since when we were in high school and up until college and now professionally. And like definitely seeing like Colin or Matt Wolf, you know, doing big things on tour, that definitely gave us like a little sense of hope, you know, like we can definitely compete out in the big tour and like we can achieve anything if, you know, we work hard enough. In that sense.
Yeah. And you actually redshirted a year. So you have five, you're at five. Wow. Excuse me. You were at Cal for 5 years. Is there anything like that you really learned from that experience that you think is helping you now on the professional tour?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I did 5 years at Cal and that definitely prepared myself a little better than I thought to turn pro. I don't think I was going to be ready in the 4 years at Cal. I think that extra senior year that I had, you know, definitely kicked off the professional career that I had. You know, I turned pro with very limited status on the McKenzie Tour and then played really well for the Korn Ferry Q School. But I think that extra year in college definitely helped me prepare myself better to turn pro. I don't think I would be ready in 4 if I had to go back in time.
Now, we're all trying to live through, you know, the PGA Tour going on hiatus and the Korn Ferry Tour going on hiatus and everything shutting down. When you got that news, I guess what was your first reaction when you got the news that, okay, the Korn Ferry Tour, it's going on pause, and now you've got to figure out what to do.
Yeah. So yeah, when I heard the news that events are postponed or canceled, I mean, I wasn't really sure what's going to happen because I have a conditional status on the Korn Ferry Tour. Luckily I fished well in Mexico that we were talking about. Because I need the next reshuffle to get into the rest of the year. But with this going on, I don't know when that's going to be or when are we going to come back and play again. So it's just a lot of not knowing, which is kind of scary because, mm-hmm. I mean, this is my only, I guess, job. I'm playing golf. Yeah. But luckily, we still have mini tours in Arizona, you know, kind of keep things going. But I don't know about guys that live in other states that have that the golf courses are closed. I don't know what those guys are going to do.
Yeah, it's been weird for everybody. Okay, so let's talk about moving forward for you, KK. So obviously, you know, the Korn Ferry Tour, hopefully coming back June 11th. But in the meantime, yep. It sounds like you're going to play. Is it the Legacy Classic next week? Is that the next event for you?
Yep. Starting on Monday.
And do you have any idea what your schedule looks like after that? Or are you just going to play on Monday and see what happens?
I signed up for the Scottsdale Open. Yep. I think the week after. Mm-hmm. And then I think the Outlaw Tour added like two or three more events after that. And then I think the Corn Ferry will start right after those events in June. So I think that's going to be my plan right now, you know, playing mini tours. And then hopefully Corn Ferry can get things going in June.
Yeah, well, we're rooting for you, KK. So I want to thank you for coming on, and we're going to wish you the best of luck the rest of the way.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks again for having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.